can rewind it. You can rewind it. You can rewind it. Rewind. You can rewind it. You can rewind it. We gon' take it back to the future, over the top. E.T. Gremlins, RoboCop. Bring it back a couple minutes to when I was 10. Dusting off my favorite movies, gonna watch them again. Then VHS, yeah, we'll give it a crack. Do they hold up? Are they totally whack? Brock and Alexa, give it a play. Tell you to rewind it, throw it away.
Hello and welcome to You Can Rewind It with Alexa and Brock. This is the show where we watch our favorite movies from our childhood. Then we discuss, dissect, and decide, do we still like them, and would we rewind them and watch them again? I am Alexa.
I am Brock.
And today we have for you...
1977's Rated PG, Smokey and the Bandit. So, you got, in this movie, two big actors. One major legend of an actor. But you got Burt Reynolds, the Bandit.
Okay. Yep.
You know Burt Reynolds from Striptease, Boogie Nights, Cannonball Run, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, Deliverance. And you know Sheriff Buford T. Justice, played by Jackie Gleason, who was in The Toy.
The Toy.
The Honeymooners and The Hustler. The synopsis for this movie, you ready?
Yep.
The Bandit is hired on to run a tractor trailer full of beer over state lines. In hot pursuit is a pesky sheriff. It's like, huh, okay. I mean, it explains it. It does, but also in this movie, you got, again, you got the Smokey chasing the Bandit, which is Jack Gleason.
Right.
Chasing Burt Reynolds. But he's chasing Burt Reynolds because Burt Reynolds picked up a hitchhiker who happens to be Sally Field, playing the role of Carrie. Sally Field was in Forrest Gump, Steel Magnolias, Mrs. Doubtfire, The Flying Nun, Gidget. I never watched those old ones.
I love to see the young Sally Field. Not that I don't like the older Sally Field, because I do. But she's just so
aged
adorable.
Really well,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she's so beautiful and adorable.
So Carrie, Sally Field's character, was engaged to Junior, played by Mike Henry. He was a former football player. Junior is the son of the sheriff. That's really why the sheriff's chasing him. So what I wanted to say was, I watched this movie. Obviously, I didn't watch this movie in 1977.
No, me either.
I watched this in the 80s as a child. Many of times.
How many times, do you think?
Probably 8, 9.
Okay.
I had no idea that's what this story was. Like, I, as a kid, I thought Jackie Gleason was hilarious. And he was chasing the Bandit. Okay, that's not the movie at all. So, the Bandit hires Snowman, Cletus, played by Jerry Reed, who is a famous country western singer-songwriter. Also, the mean coach and Waterboy.
I would never have known that.
No! Good Lord, he looked familiar, and I knew I know him, but... Cletus is actually the one who's running the beer. He's in the tractor trailer full, with 200 cases full of Coors Light. Bandit is just a distraction.
I
didn't know that, but that's fine. And then Sheriff Buford T. Justice is chasing the Bandit because he's got Carrie with him. He's not trying to get the Bandit for the beer. He's just trying to get, make him pay for taking Carrie, who he just happened to pick up on the side of the road.
Right.
All of this has been set up, this run from Georgia to Texarkana, back to Georgia, by the Burdettes. Big Enos and Little Enos.
I know, that was weird.
Okay.
That was such a strange, they're like wearing
matching outfits. Oh my God, that was so funny. Big Enos is Pat McCormick. He was the ghost of Christmas Present in Scrooged. And Little Enos is Paul Williams. And I'm like, I know this guy. Like, I know this guy. So he's a songwriter. He's saying, "We've only just begun."
Really?
"To live." He also sang "Good Old Fashioned Love Song," "Rainbow Connection." And he sang, he wrote and sang this song, "The Love Boat."
Little Enos?
Yes, that dude has written tons and tons of hits. Tons of soundtracks, tons of songs for movies, tons of just regular song hits.
Wow.
And I love We've Only Just Begun. Like, that's a great song.
Yeah.
I like real cheesy music like that.
That just blows my mind. I can't even.
So basically, the story in a nutshell. The Burdette brother, I don't know if they're brothers, I don't know who they are. But
I wonder if he had any songs in the movie, did he? Because the other guy did.
Jerry Reed yeah. wrote every song yeah, in this movie, it feels like.
Okay.
But you have the Burdette, I guess they're brothers, I don't know, Big Enos and Little Enos. I don't know if that's father, brothers? Son.
I thought maybe they were father and son, but I'm not sure about it.
Little Enos ain't that young.
But why would they both be named Enos if one's got to be like the father? Right?
I think, I mean, honestly.
He wouldn't name brothers that.
He wasn't that young compared to the, I mean, like, he wasn't that much younger than the father. Then.
And they just must be loaded because they just dropped cash like nobody's business.
All right, so they're going to hire the bandit. They hire all these people to make these runs because mm-hmm. you cannot get, according to the movie, Coors Light west of Texarkana, Texas, because that's called bootlegging. Truthfully, you couldn't get Coors Light west of Texarkana, I'm sorry, east of Texarkana. Because Coors Light was not pasteurized. So they couldn't guarantee that it would stay good if it went too far. So that's why they had the only limited states that would get Coors Light.
Oh, really?
That's everything I've read that said that was not bootlegging. That was, you know, that was not illegal.
Government cover-up.
I knew it. I think the Russians
so
did it.
So they wanted...
They want Coors Light of all beers.
They want Coors really.
I gotta grab it. Let's pay like $100,000 for some real crappy beer. Mm-hmm.
So what would they even drinking?
I'm assuming they'd be drinking either Miller Lite or okay. you know I don't know. I wasn't raised
Miller
in that area back then.
You I was certainly in Texas. Weren't drinking beer back then.
No. So the Enos, Big Enos, Little Enos, they hire the bandit. He's going to make this run.
You're going to see how many times you can say Big Enos.
Big Enos, Little yeah. Enos. They're going to make this run from Georgia, pick up 200 cases of Coors Light,
for and drive a party.
It for a party, drive it back to Georgia. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is all the cops are trying to stop it. So Bandit's going to run distraction. So every time they see the cops, he's going to go crazy in this Trans Am, right? And
mm-hmm.
it's nuts. So that's the story. And, of course, on the way, he picks up Carrie. So now Buford T. Justice, the sheriff from Texas, which I'm from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anyone that talks like Buford T. Justice. I was like, man, I love Jackie Gleason.
Well, it was the 70s. And
that's a good point. And I don't know how far east Texas
we don't
that
know
was.
What kind of town he was from.
I grew up in Dallas, Fort Worth, so not many accents per
mm-hmm,
se.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this movie when you were younger?
No.
You have never seen this movie before?
I'm thinking I might have seen bits and pieces of this movie, but I've never sat down and watched the whole movie. Nope. I didn't really know what it was about either.
I did see this movie. I didn't know what it was about.
I thought it was more of like car chasing movie. Like, that wasn't really my type of movie at the time. So that's probably why I didn't see it. But I wanted to see it. You know, in my adult time, I've wanted to see it.
Well, I mentioned this is rated PG.
And it's on Netflix, right? Or we watched it. We didn't have to buy this. We saw it on.
We saw this, I think, on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Amazon or Netflix, I don't remember now.
So if people wanted to see it, they could check it.
Absolutely. And you should, because 1977 Burt Reynolds movie, mm-hmm. come on. You got to see it. If you don't like it, you don't like it. Yeah. If you like it, you like it. Great. But this is a kind of big movie. Okay.
Yes, and he passed away this year.
Yes.
Now, he was considered, like, super sexy, right?
Yeah, and I get it. He's got like a smooth
70s
charm.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely hairy chested, got the mustache, but he's funny. He's charming. Mm. He's a good looking guy.
He's got a lot of confidence.
Oh, yeah.
Which he's
well, the first time you see Bandit, he's at like this rodeo and he's some famous driver. I don't know if he's race car, stock car, whatnot. But he's sitting in a hammock with his hat over his eyes and he's kind of a burnout basically at this point. And he sees the Burdettes.
Yeah.
Since you don't want me to say Big Enos, Little Enos.
Since you don't want me to say it, you just say it anyway.
And they like talk to him and he pulls his hat up and just does that unique Burt Reynolds ha ha laugh that he does. And I cracked up as soon as I heard it.
You were being charmed by it.
I love you, Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
This movie is directed and the story was co-written by Hal Needham. He's the highest paid stuntman. At least up to that point. He had broken 56 bones. He broke his back twice, punctured a lung, knocked out a few teeth. But what I read, everything I read about him was how prolific he was.
Hmm.
As a stuntman, as like a writer, director, producer, like all this stuff. His career supposedly included 4,500 TV episodes where he either did stunts or acting or direct. Like some, he worked on 4,500 TV episodes and 310 feature films. And again, as a stuntman, stunt coordinator, second unit director, or director. And he was also the director of a movie I loved as a kid that I think I always thought I loved this movie so much, really because of Cannonball Run.
Oh.
Because they're both driving movies, and I was very young when I saw both of them. Mm-hmm. Cannonball Run is definitely a far different movie compared to this, obviously. It's, you know, it's a racing movie, and it's all
not
comedy.
Not about truckers.
Not about truckers, no. It's about, a cross-country race. The Cannonball Run.
Okay.
But
I obviously have not seen it.
No, probably not. I mean, it's got like a young Jackie Chan. It's got Dean Martin. Okay. It's got Dom DeLuise. It's got millions of people
in
it.
Okay. I think I've seen bits and pieces of that too.
There's
just not enough trucking movies, you know. We did see
Over the Top. You can't say.
But there's not recently. Like, is trucking just not interesting anymore?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
I wonder if any truck drivers that listen to the podcast. Because that would be, listening to the podcast
time to,
would be.
No kidding. But the cool thing about truckers, especially in this time period, this is way pre-cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
Way pre-car phone, which I know people are like, what's a car phone? You mean cell phone? No, I mean back when the only cell phones you could get were in your car because you had a giant battery in your car for your car phone.
Right. And your dad had a car phone.
My dad had a car phone. Someone stole his car phone, which was the biggest joke because they took the receiver and the cord that went to the battery, which doesn't work without that 30, 50, whatever pound battery that
they
was
just
under his
stole
seat.
Hello.
Yeah, this thing sucks. It didn't work.
Geniuses.
So the CB seems like such a cool thing back then. And every trucker had a CB. Mm-hmm. Some cars had CBs. In fact, when I was in high school, which unfortunately was pre-cell phone, when I was in high school, a bunch of my friends, I think our junior year, started getting CBs in their cars so that they could communicate and, you know, we're going to parties or driving, being stupid or whatever. And that was the coolest thing ever.
I know.
CBs.
My dad got a CB and we used it on a road trip.
Uh-oh. What was his call sign?
I don't remember. Yeah, we were bootlegging. No, we had a VHS tape that we copied. No, actually, but he would tell us, you know, to say stuff like breaker one nine, like we would
breaker one nine.
Right,
this is.
And he would let us like say stuff on it, but just like a little bit because he didn't want us like kids playing on it like annoying
the driver truck drivers because they actually do use it for a purpose,
right,
not just to entertain kids.
So fun to play with it though.
That was, again, keep in mind when I was younger, when I first saw this movie, we had one phone in our house that was on a giant cord because this was probably cordless was probably out. When I saw this, but it would be very rare at least.
Not you guys, though. You wanted to go with the...
We had the 140-foot phone cord that just was curled up. You could walk all over the house with it.
Yep.
Because you'd follow the cord and, my brother's got the cord in the bathroom, taking a poop, talking to his girlfriend.
So gross.
It's so gross, isn't it? We use that phone.
Yes. Ew. Okay,
so the CB was the most novel thing. I can talk to other people around me? Like, how crazy is that?
I know. It was cool.
Now with cell phones, you're like, oh... CB, great.
Like these annoying kids on there. 10-4, good buddy.
You don't see any Smokies out there?
Yeah. We did. We said like a couple of really cheesy things, and it was like, okay, that's enough. Can't, you know, and then we'd wait, and then we could play with it again.
So, Jackie Gleason.
Got your ears on.
Jackie Gleason was in the toy.
Yes.
And if you remember, he got frustrated, and I guess he had raised his voice with the kid, because the kid couldn't keep up with Jackie Gleason when he was improvising, which... No, duh. You're Jackie Gleason. You're one of the most famous actors in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You were in the most famous TV show besides probably I Love Lucy back in the day. In The Honeymooners.
Yeah.
And
which
you're trying to go toe-to-toe with a 9-year-old kid.
The kid was a good actor.
Kid did a great job.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the toy or you want to listen to our podcast,
I would recommend both.
Yeah, go back.
The movie's amazing, and we had so much fun with that podcast.
Yeah, it's a good one. One of our early ones.
In this movie, the majority of Gleason's lines... are improvised.
Huh.
And he's got some of the funniest lines. Granted, this is the 70s. He's playing a Southern sheriff.
Right.
So some of the lines are going to be a little bit either racially charged or, you know, just not appropriate maybe.
He's got a lot of jokes that I didn't get.
Like?
I can't give you an example. I just remember thinking I didn't understand some of the jokes. Me and you even talked about that. We're like, what's that mean?
There's a couple things that, then, yeah, that probably didn't age well where I don't understand what that means.
And then we thought about putting subtitles on.
We should have put subtitles on just because some of the stuff he says is hilarious.
Right.
But he says, like, to his son, Junior, who's like the one who Carrie left. And he's, hey, Daddy. This guy's just a weirdo, funny as can be. But he's like, there's no way you come from my loins. Soon as I get home, I'm going to punch your mama in the mouth. And, of course, people are going to be offended by that. But that's so funny. Because obviously he's not going to punch mom in the mouth. But he's just saying, you are such a disappointment to me. I got to blame your mom. Before I open the floor up, because I know you have some questions, I got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
This is the second highest grossing movie of 1977. What was the highest grossing movie of 1977?
I'm trying to think of something in 19... Oh. I'm going to say Star Wars, A New Hope.
Episode 4.
Yep.
And I thought... This was the second big... Oh, yeah, Star Wars. Okay.
Right.
Like, never mind.
It's awesome.
And you're not going to believe this. Do you think this probably helped the sales of Pontiac Transams?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, yeah. So they jumped from 68,000, and within 2 years, they had sold 117,000 Transams. For the first movie, they asked Pontiac for, like, a Transam, and I forgot the other car that was used for the, like, police cars, and I think they got...
It wasn't the Crown Victoria?
No.
Oh.
They end up getting like three. I think they had to pay. They didn't get really anything free. But they got like three of the T-Birds and like, you know, so many of these other cars. The Bel Airs or whatever that was used for the police car. For the sequel, they got like tons of cars because this helped Pontiac sales shoot through the roof.
No more Pontiacs.
You don't see them anymore, do you?
Do you remember that? We built excitement Pontiac. Do you remember that?
I remember that song, but we never owned a Pontiac. Sorry.
I don't think we owned a Pontiac either.
We were too busy owning cool
Oldsmobile.
Cars like the Oldsmobile or the Dodge Omni.
High five for Oldsmobile. Ours was a diesel. Remember, smoke 'em, Daddy, smoke 'em. I don't know what I put which podcast that was in, but
say my dad got a new Oldsmobile for work every year. And every year was like, and it's a grandpa car. Okay.
Could he not pick anything else?
No, he could have, but he really liked Oldsmobile. And he was like,
okay.
It was my father driving Oldsmobile and every other 84-year-old man on earth.
My grandparents. He couldn't have had a Trans Am, huh?
No. Where was the Pontiac Trans Am?
I'll tell you what, it was a cool car, though, to see again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You liked it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you have a few questions you want to ask me.
Okay. So, at the beginning of the movie, I somehow, either they had the Jake Brake, which I don't know, I didn't know that's what that was. I didn't know it was called Jake Brake.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a road that we go to get to my daughter's, that we went to get to the middle school, and there's a big sign in front of those people that says, no Jake, please.
It said, no Jake Brake, please, but the brake had gone away, so it just said, no Jake, please.
I always read it as no Jake, and I had no clue what they were talking about. If that was like a person, like, it's that.
Well, the funny thing was, I kept giggling every time we went by it, and we never really talked about it, and finally, you were like, why do they say no Jake? And it's like, oh, Alexa doesn't know. Okay, babe.
Yeah, no clue. That reminded me of that.
They're not saying, don't, Jake's not allowed here, babe. They're saying, no Jake break.
Before I ask questions, I did want to say... It was so interesting because, you know, they have the song, the Westbound and Down. Westbound and Down.
The song I remember was Eastbound and Down.
Right.
And I was singing it, and then I hear Westbound and Down. I'm like, I think I've been singing this all wrong because they were heading west to Texarkana. They got the beer, and now they're going east.
Yes.
Now it's Eastbound and Down.
I like that. I think that's
Does he get credit for two hits if they go big?
I think that was actually really, really clever, I thought.
Honestly,
the song was kind of catchy. I don't even.
I'm not big on old country music,
right?
But that guy was awesome.
Like,
yes, Jerry Reed was awesome. Was fun. It was.
But just can I relax. Say, do you like time. Eastbound down better or westbound down?
I'm gonna stick with eastbound because that's what I'm always saying. So
that's the bigger hit for you.
In my head, that's okay. The number one. Number two would be the westbound.
I thought it was a total waste of time enforcing this law. There seems like there could be better things to.
No, babe, people are being murdered, but we got to stop this Coors Light from going west it or east to Texarkana.
It could be a, would you say not, not homogenized. No, what was it?
Not pasteurized.
Not pasteurized, though, babe.
That supposedly is why they sold it, not because it was illegal to sell. But I don't know if that is true because I did not look up the laws for like interstate travel with alcohol in 1977.
No, nuts. Then you saw him, I think only once, break the fourth wall.
Yes. With his smile. Oh my gosh, where he drives slowly. He like had parked behind that building to have the cops lose him, or he loses the cops. And then he drives slowly by the camera as a close-up, and he is just smiling at the camera.
No way is that planned. Either that or they had more times of him doing that, because why would they just do that once?
But it was awesome. It was clever when they did it, because you're like...
No, it was. It was. Maybe you're right.
Is he just letting you... I mean, almost like he's telling you, like, oh, we're all in on this. Like, this is fun. Have fun.
Here comes my first big question.
Yes.
I don't see...
Uh-oh.
Sally Field's character, Carrie, marrying Buford T. Justice's son. What's his name again?
Junior. My hat blew off, Daddy.
Was that just like a spur-of-the-moment thing, or did they date? Like, I got confused there.
I don't know. I kind of thought maybe they're just from some small town in Texas.
Well, she danced with the Rockettes or
something. That's right. You are right.
So she went down there, and she was dancing. He saw her. He wanted to get married, so she's going to marry him, even though he's an idiot?
So here's the deal. Jackie Gleason was supposed to be in the car alone. And he asked to have someone put in the car with him. He's like, I need someone to play off of. So I don't know how much of Junior was in the original script. Because the original script, Bandit was going to be Jerry Reed. But when Burt Reynolds talked to Hal Needham, his buddy, and he was like, yeah, I want to be Bandit. Jerry Reed moved to Snowman. So there's been some changes,
obviously.
I wonder
if he was bitter.
I was going to be Bandit, you jerk.
Now I'm Snowman. Actually, I travel with the Snowman, dog.
Fred. But... I don't know how much of the original script had been changed compared to what we had seen, but it sounded like Junior was really thrown into the car with his daddy because Jackie Gleason needed someone to work off of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah, I just did not see them as a couple.
That's probably why. Probably because it wasn't intended originally, and maybe that's what came about is they had to
and
put
I was
someone
like,
else
this
in.
Must be a rushed wedding, or maybe she just saw dollar signs and then backed out. I didn't really know that.
What's wrong with Junior? Who would want to marry that guy? He's actually handsome and he seems like a good guy. He's just dumber than brick.
Oh my gosh.
Let me have a Diablo sandwich, a Dr. Pepper. Make it quick. You want anything, son?
Hush puppies, daddy.
We ain't got time for that. What do you see?
There's a football game, daddy. Can we stay and watch?
Oh yeah. They almost like ran people over.
Okay.
So many times.
So I was going to say...
Very dangerous.
This movie, very dangerous. And there was some close calls during filming on that football field. Because the cars couldn't get very good traction. And there were some close calls with players.
Goodness.
Not like it was... He got brushed. But there were some closer calls than they wanted. Yeah,
with
did not
kids?
Did not remember that football game at all. Like, that was odd how he drives across the field during the game. So basically, Bandit keeps running distraction, like I said, for Snowman... While he's trying to still evade Sheriff Buford T. Justice.
Yeah, he had a lot going on. And
by the way, does Bandit have a real name? Because when he sees Snowman's kids, Cletus's kids, they're like, Uncle Bandit. And the mom's like, he ain't your uncle.
Yeah.
It's like, he doesn't have a real name. He just goes by Bandit.
I thought it was a funny line when he told Carrie, cowboys love fat calves. And as a member of the Fat Calf Society, I'm sorry, the Large Calf Society. That's a club I made up with another large calf.
Well, as a cowboy, let me tell you, I like your calves.
I like that line. Think that's true? Although, if you're a cowgirl, it's hard to get boots on big calves.
But if cowboys love big calves, that's odd, because cowboys, and hey, God bless you, but cowboys wear the tightest jeans.
Yeah.
And by the way, no Seatbelts.
Yeah, no seatbelts.
When my first like recollections looking back on my childhood of driving in a car, we didn't wear seatbelts. I rode in the back of trucks. And I remember when the law was passed of, oh, we're to wear our seatbelts. And I thought, oh, what a pain in the butt. Whatever. I'll wear my seatbelt. You know, I was a kid. Now, if I don't have my seatbelt on, I feel naked. I hate it. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like,
it's weird.
Something's not right. I gotta get my seatbelt on.
Well, now the cars yell at you, too.
Just bang, bang, bang. This is going to be a spoiler.
Oh.
But if you are upset about a spoiler from a movie that is 40 years old, that's on you.
Uh-huh.
So, obviously, the bandit pulls it off. Right? He's going to get his $80,000.
Uh-huh.
That's what the deal was. He gets $80,000. But when they first approach Bandit and they're like, hey, we want you to do this. He's like, okay, well, I'll need money for the beer. And, you know, I'm going to need to get a rig. And I'll need to get a blocker car. How much money did they just dole out right there to Bandit in cash?
They just really like that.
It needs to be faster. A little faster. Uh-huh. They had to drop at least 30, 40K in cash right there.
That was nuts.
So you're right. You said it earlier. They must just have gobs of money. Just throwing it away. Of course, they can also get matching cowboy outfits for a tall, fat guy and a very short, fat guy.
Well, I was going to say one of my favorite parts of the movie. Well, I really like Fred the dog.
Love Fred.
Fred.
So Burt Reynolds.
Swimming Fred was cute, too.
Burt Reynolds personally picked Fred to play the role of the dog,
mm-hmm.
because he didn't obey commands, which sounds very counterintuitive to what you would want, but mm-hmm. I think that's kind of funny, because Jerry Reed, I wonder if that was planned, or the fact that the dog didn't listen when Jerry Reed's like, you know, he's like, Fred, get in the truck, Fred, and Fred takes off running, and I wonder mm-hmm. if that was, he was really trying to get Fred in the truck, and Fred ran off, and he just ran with it.
Yeah.
Because by the way, Jerry Reed, more known for being a country mm-hmm. song, great actor, fun. Loved him in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was funny. He was, you know, you rooted for him. Even when he got in the bar fight, which was so weird.
Yeah, that part almost
so unnecessary.
How did that fit into the movie, really?
I guess it just
really
shows he lives
slow him down. It didn't, anything up.
He goes in, gets in a fight with some bikers. They beat the crap out of him. He gets in his truck and drives off laughing that he's bleeding and hurt. It's like...
Well, no, he ran over their motorcycles, which was awesome.
That was awesome.
He kind of like smiles. You're like, what in the world is he smiling about? He's got the crud beat out of him. And then he just runs over their motorcycles. That part was awesome. But I just thought, that doesn't seem to really fit.
No. No. I'd say this movie was very Looney Tunes-ish. Like, it's very Roadrunner and Coyote.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Roadrunner is the bandit, Coyote is Smokey, Jackie Gleason.
Mm-hmm.
He's constantly chasing him and crazy. Like, you know, they drive under a trailer and the top of their car is completely ripped off. Mm. And they're both, you know, the father and son are sitting there, no top to the roof. And
okay, that was awesome because from then on, he holds his hat on his head.
But Junior says,
ridiculous.
Toss missing, Daddy. And Jackie Gleason just looks so defeated, drops, you know, he basically has no crap. But he don't say crap.
Oh, my gosh.
There
are moments like that that were so funny.
He has to hold his dad's hat every time the sheriff's driving, and he loses his hat, too, in the way because he's holding his dad's hat.
I know, just driving down the road holding his hat on his head. I like the brotherhood and sisterhood.
Totally agree. Everybody looking out for Bandit because they want to help Bandit. People want to see Bandit. You know, he's a legend, although one lady's name, her handle...
Mm-hmm.
Little Beaver.
Right.
Hey, Bandit, it's Little Beaver. It's like, lady. No, please don't be that person.
Well, and if I was his new girlfriend, I would be a little concerned of all these ladies he must have taken his hat off for.
Who are you just chatting with? It was just Little Beaver, don't worry.
They'd be like, hey, you want to meet up, Bandit? Remember me?
No, Little Beaver. I got a girl next to Jugs McGee. There's your handle, Jugs McGee.
No, I don't want to be Jugs McGee. No, I'm not Jugs McGee. No, but then I would be like, that's interesting. All these women will be like, you passing through? You coming to the juke and puke?
You gonna go to the juke and puke?
Is it juke and puke?
I don't know. Come over to the juke and puke. I'll give you the herps. Little beef out.
And I also didn't... I also didn't pick up on that whole thing about him taking his hat off. I didn't know that that was going on.
Never remember
things
that.
Things were going...
But he never takes his hat off. He only takes his hat off when he's going to make love.
Uh-huh.
And, yep, she basically takes his hat off, letting him know, like, you going to make love, bandit.
Oh, gosh.
You going eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking.
It was perfect timing, of course. You know, they're in the middle of this very expensive... Oh, and the other thing is, they get there, and so since they've already crossed, then they're home free. They can't do anything?
No, no one can be arrested at that point.
This is kind of strange.
There's only 400 people drinking Coors Light illegally right now. I wonder if a law's been broken.
I don't know. That was strange. Can I say one more?
Yeah, I mean, good.
And then once they get there, like, they get all this money, and then now they're going to go get clam chowder, Boston clam chowder.
Weird.
And they're going to take the snowman with them?
It's a weird ending there. I'm not going to lie to you.
He doesn't need to get home to his family and his 10 kids?
Again, you just laughed at a movie.
Okay.
Where in reality, 300 people would be dead.
Yeah. True.
So let's just suspend some discipline.
Okay. All right.
You ready to vote?
Yeah.
You got anything else you want to add?
Nope.
I'm not sure which way you're going to go. So shall I go first?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a really good shot I was not going to rewind this movie. And there was a really good shot I am going to rewind. Like, this is tough. Because the believability of this movie is... There is no believability. This movie is so outlandishly ridiculous, okay? No one... You know, even in 77. I understand in the 70s things were a little more lax on the laws. You could drive drunk, you know, no one cared. That's what it sounds like. So the believability is not there. I get it. Burt Reynolds, amazing in this movie. And it's crazy to think, as good as Burt Reynolds was, he probably was not the most talented actor. He probably didn't do the best job of any of the actors. You have Jackie Gleason, a legend. I mean, a legend of Hollywood. And he does a phenomenal job. Half his lines make you laugh. So even just those two alone could carry this movie. But no, you got Jerry Reed and you got Sally Field and Paul Williams' little Enos. This is a funny movie. And this is a big, big movie. There are certain movies you should watch. This is one. This, for me, is a definite rewind. It's a movie that kind of, I feel like, defines an era of filmmaking, the late 70s going into the 80s.
Rewind.
Well, in this movie, like, that's like a problem that we no longer have, the whole plot line of the movie.
Bootlegging?
I mean, I guess bootlegging is still... Yeah, but I mean, anyway.
Your family's a bunch of bootleggers when it comes to movies.
Right. But so that part's kind of like foreign. But I'm like you said, as a kid, you watched it not even knowing that was what was going on, and you were fine with it. You were okay with it.
Yeah.
I had some questions, and like you said, there's a little believability there. But for the most part, it was a fun watch, and... I can't really, because I laughed and had fun with it, I feel like I'm going to give it a rewind.
Wow, we have a double rewind!
I was going to say, and I do like how back then they had to do all those stunts.
Real stunts?
Yeah, they had to really do it. And of course you do see...
Oh my God, stunt drivers people. Were obvious. and you'll see them go off a bridge. Obvious ramp, like there's no hiding some of the stuff, but again,
but it was still fun. Who cares? I'm gonna give it a rewind just because it was a fun movie, and I feel like I'm not as adamant like everyone should see this and everything, but I think if you do see it, you would have fun with it.
Do you think you would watch this movie again one day?
Maybe.
Does this watching this movie make you or give you the desire to see the sequel?
Maybe, but I'm hesitant on sequels.
I know. So. What about the threequel?
I'm even more hesitant.
Where Jackie Gleason plays
the
good guy and the bad guy.
Yeah, the threequel makes me even more nervous. But yep, I'll give it a rewind.
Double rewind again.
Yay! So this has been another episode of You Can Rewind It with Alexa and Brock. Please check out our social media. We have a Facebook page, You Can Rewind It, a Twitter account, You Can Rewind It. an email, youcanrewindit@gmail.com. And we are on Instagram, youcanrewindit. Feel free to leave us reviews on iTunes or get in touch with us on social media. We love to hear from you. And just remember, just because you can rewind it, doesn't mean you should.
Thanks for listening.
This is Jugs McGee over now.
Jugs McGee.
Oh, Daddy, can we go to Choke and Puke? Meet Jugs. She sounds lovely, Daddy. I want to meet Jugs McGee.
Eastbound down, loaded up and trucking. We gonna do what they say can't be done. Rewind it. You can rewind it.
Rewind it. You can rewind it. 4, 3, 2, 1. It's a rewind, Daddy.